Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you.
And we praise God for each of you today, for truly this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Here it is Monday, the 11th day of September, a very important day in the life of our United States, that we reflect back over the tragedy that happened some, 22 years ago. And it's a time for reflection and a time just to remember those who lost their lives. And there's been much talk throughout the day and on the networks as people have gathered from near and far just to show their respects in New York. And I tell you, that was a unforgettable experience that happened. And many of us who were around 22 years ago, we can almost remember exactly where we were when we heard the tragic news about these planes and about all of the devastation that took place 22 years ago. It doesn't seem like it was 22 years ago.
No, it doesn't.
But time surely gets away from us, but we have to continue to remember and continue to never forget just how blessed we are as a nation and how much we have to be thankful for.
Amen.
So we praise God for each of you tonight. Let us know you're getting a clear signal and that you're getting a good sound there as we prepare for tonight. And
we have a visitor, huh?
We yet praise God for each of you. We're going to be in the 22nd. Well, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. This is going to be an interesting dynamic that takes place here and as it relates to the events that began to unfold. We see a new kingship coming into power, and we see God is still ruling and reigning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so this is going to be an interesting turn of events that happened here in this 14th chapter of 2 Chronicles. So we praise God for each of you. Thank you for giving us the, letting us know that the signal is clear. We're going to go ahead and get started as we prepare for a time of prayer. God, we honor you tonight and we bless you and we yet give you praise. We thank you for being God and God alone. And we're certainly grateful for how you continue to sustain us and bless us even in spite of ourselves. We pray now, dear Lord, your choicest blessings to be upon us as we engage in this time together. We pray for each person that's going to participate and be a part of this study. And we pray, dear Lord, that our faith will increase and our lives will be enriched as a result of spending this time together. So we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Let's give God some thumbs up or some hearts. Let us know that you are with us as we just touch and agree and believe that great things are yet in store, and that each time we come together around the word of God, something powerful can happen. And manifestations can take place, prayers can be answered, lives can be changed, and faith can be increased. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, so yesterday, Lady Kim, if you're ready to just give us a brief reflection over what you heard the Lord saying to you as we engaged in our worship experience on yesterday. It was Grandparents' Day. Nationally, I believe.
Yes.
Is that correct?
National Grandparents Day, yes. Time to celebrate Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there were donuts flowing. There was coffee. There was all kind of refreshments, fruits and the likes. And we had an opportunity to share in the men's class. And the Sunday school put on an outstanding job in terms of helping us to recognize grandparents on yesterday.
Amen. Amen. Well, on yesterday also, you continued in the series, Win the Day. Mm-hmm. And the title of your sermon, you carried over from last week, How to Live Through a Bad Day and Keep on Winning.
Okay.
And you, your thought came from the scripture of Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 21. And it was talking about the two men that were traveling on the road of Emmaus, traveling on the road to a village called Emmaus. And it was like, I guess seven or so miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking about what the things that had transpired in the days previous when Jesus was crucified and he was buried. And as they talked along the road, Jesus appeared to them, but they didn't realize it was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says that their eyes were restrained.
Okay.
And he asked them what they were, you know, talking about and why they were sad. And they said, man, haven't you heard? You must be the only one who hasn't heard of the events that transpired and concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And so they began to tell Jesus what happened and the things that had happened. But I think yesterday you got to one of your points. I think you had 3 points. And I believe you got to the first one of forgive everyone who is trying to ruin your life. You know, and you talked about how they were so caught up in the moment that they were in that they failed to see God walking beside them.
Okay.
And, you know, that's just like us. Sometimes we're so caught up and consumed with our troubles, our problems, our worries, that we fail to realize that God is there. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is look for him. And then God can meet us in a place of weariness and we can live through a bad day.
Okay.
Sometimes we feel like we just can't make it. You know, we just can't take it anymore. But, you know, God is with us and he walks with us. There's a song that says he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So we have to be willing to tarry with God. Tarry means to sit with him for a while. You know, sometimes, so often we're so busy running here and there and doing this and that, we forget that we need to stop and look for God and wait on God.
Okay.
So God can meet us in a place when we're weary, worn, wounded, sad. We can find in him a resting place, and he will make us glad. Amen.
You got all of that from yesterday?
I sure did.
Your notes were working for you yesterday?
They did.
Okay. That song, the name of that song is, what is it? I Come to the Garden.
Garden Alone. I don't think that's the name of I don't think he so. Walks with me, he talks me.
Yeah.
I can't think of the
In
title.
The Garden or something.
In the Garden. Is I think it? It's In the Garden.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. In the Garden.
All right.
Amen. And then, yes, you know, we're winners because he was a winner.
Okay.
He got up.
Okay.
He rose on the third day. And so we're winners because he is a winner. And then we need to forgive everyone who's trying to ruin our day, because unforgiveness resides in a place that prevents us from our breakthrough. If we do not forgive those who have wronged us, if we cannot find the strength within to forgive those who have wronged us, then it will prevent us from our major breakthrough.
Okay.
So, yes. And we can overcome if we forgive. All right. And the last point I had is we need to help others in their struggles also. You know, so I think you did get to your points yesterday.
Yeah,
all your
I
points.
Just, I didn't want to interrupt you. I was letting you just go ahead with.
You did get to your
points.
Because
I abruptly points. Interrupted you last week, and I didn't want to do that this time. As would not throw you off, you know, in terms of your focus. But
yeah, now that I'm going through my notes, I see that you did finish up. But we need to help others with their struggles, you know, because some people go through the same struggles that we go through. And so as a witness and a testimony of God's goodness and grace in our lives, then we need to let them know about our struggles and how God has brought us through, and that they can make it through also. And then take care of those near you. Mm-hmm. And when you said take care of those near you, I'm the nearest one to me. So there's a thing called self-care. Mm-hmm. We need to take care of ourselves first. You know, when you're on a plane and, you know, there's an emergency and that oxygen mask dropped down, they ask you to put your mask on first before mm-hmm. you assist someone else.
Okay.
And so self-care is just that. Take care of yourself first and then help others. You can't help heal somebody else if you're still wounded and bleeding.
That's good.
So take care of someone. Help take care of those
that's good,
that are
Reverend.
Around you.
You should have got with me on that. You knew I was doing a part two. The Spirit of the Lord dropped that in your spirit. But you're absolutely right. And I believe there's someone out there who's wondering, well, how does all of this tie in with living through a bad day? Because we talked about unforgiveness, really, and that how important that is. And the enemy will try to use and hold it against us and hold us hostage. And a lot of times, like you're talking about with that self-care, if we don't forgive ourselves, it's going to be very difficult. Even if we pray and ask God to forgive others, and we're still holding mm-hmm. Something that we haven't released. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, quite a few people came up to me after service on Sunday. And of course, those who came for prayer, we're not trying to get into anybody's business or trying to see what it is particularly that they might be struggling with. But there have been so many offenses in the past that have hindered people, and that unforgiveness can hinder people from winning the day and moving forward and being victorious, because they're locked in the past and they're locked in the pain of their past, and they haven't released it to a place where it gives them freedom. And the Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And Jesus on the cross, he used it as the ultimate example, if you will. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so even if we have had some instances in our past or some issues or some drama, if you will, that we haven't been released from, then that's going to prevent you from winning the day. And so some people shared a little bit with me after church, but that's key. That's important, because many times people hear the word, but until you allow the Spirit of God to do a work in you, you still hear 8, 9, 10 sermons and still haven't won the day.
Right.
And so I want to encourage those of you who are yet going through transitional time in your life about some things that perhaps even happened when you were growing up, or even when you were at home alone and an uncle or someone came in and violated you. It's important that you really get in touch with God around that, and that you really ask God to do a work in you, so that you won't be held hostage, because that's where the enemy wants to hang out. That's where the enemy wants to keep you, in a place of denial and in a place of unforgiveness. And you'll lack some of the ingredients. You might have everything else working in your favor, but you'll still lack a part of what God is trying to get done in your life, because you haven't let go of something, a pain or a hurt or an issue or some drama in your past that you keep holding on to, because you haven't asked God to give you the strength to be released from it.
Amen. Amen. And you know, pain is all consuming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've been hurt by someone, many times that's all you can think about,
right,
is the pain and the hurt and that person has caused you. But you need to give that pain and that hurt to God. Cry out to God and ask God to remove it from you. And then after you ask God to remove it from you, forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because many times that person has gone on with their life.
That's right.
And is not even thinking about the hurt or the harm that they've caused you. And so you are a prisoner of your own pain.
That's right.
So in order to be released from that pain, you need to, first of all, give it to God. Ask God to help you release it, amen, into the atmosphere.
That's right.
And then forgive that person.
That's right.
Ask God to give you the strength to forgive that person and to move on with your life.
That's right.
Free yourself from that pain and that frustration that's been holding you hostage for all these years. I don't know who I'm talking to out there tonight, but I feel someone has been clutching their heart. Amen. Clutching their heart and squeezing their heart in pain. But I speak peace and I speak release in the name of Jesus on
Glory
tonight.
God. I felt something, Reverend. And that release part.
Amen.
And the release. Peace, because we need peace and release.
Amen.
And God is able to do both for you. But you have to really, it doesn't necessarily have to be an abuse that you
right.
might be struggling. It can be a bad relationship mm-hmm. that went south and you were all in and the other person walked away from you. It could be a number of things. It can be
yes.
a relationship that you had with one of your parents and never were able to resolve it, and now they are gone and you're still holding those issues and you're still holding that pain close to your heart, and you haven't forgiven them nor have you forgiven yourself. So it could be a number of things. It's not just an abusive situation,
right.
but it can be some kind of drama that has occurred in any kind of relationship, and even on a job, even with a boss or a co-worker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And see, when we start looking at that, you'll see that the enemy will try to keep you in a place of denial, and you're not releasing yourself into the fullness of what God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder, well, why am I not winning today? Why am I not going forward? Why am I not experiencing the joy of my salvation? It's because there are some hidden things that you really need to tap into in order for you to win today.
Amen.
And that forgiveness, that unforgiveness and all of that, that's key. And I praise God tonight that, you know, there's nothing in my closet, nothing in the back of my mind or in the back of my growing up or experience that's hindered me from moving forward into
Amen.
My future. But there's so many people who carry excess baggage.
That's right.
The Bible says, lay aside the weights and the sins. He didn't say Jesus was going to come in and do that. No, that's something that we have to do. We got to lay aside the weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. As we run this race, we have to run it with patience, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we're not asking anybody to confess anything to us. Now, don't get us wrong. Don't get it twisted now. But because I can't do nothing for you in terms of forgiving you or releasing you. Only God can do that. And so we have to make sure that we identify that if we want to win the day, if we want to be victorious in our walk with God, I'm telling you, it will lift the load. It will lift the burden. You will feel lighter in your spirit and you will feel more joy in your service and in your relationship with God, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Somebody type
power,
of
power,
love and
yes,
of a sound mind.
Yes.
And so those are the ingredients that is necessary in order for us to be complete in our walk with God and in order for us to experience the win for the day.
Amen.
Some comments there, Lady Kim.
One great thing, Dr. Q has put a link in the chat on the feed if you would like prayer. Amen. For your need or your concern, just go right into that link and put your information in there. And we will be lifting you up in intercessory prayer on this Wednesday night. Amen. Minister Al Blank said, unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire and hoping the other person dies of smoke inhalation.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Forgive. You have to forgive, because unforgiveness consumes you like a cancer. You know,
that's right.
Eats away at you. And so some people say, well, you know what? I don't have any issues. I don't, you know. Well, whatever it is that keeps you awake at night, mm-hmm. that's the issue. Whatever it is that
keeps you tossing and turning,
or, you know, consumes your waking thoughts, and, you know, you just mad at that person, or you mad at about this, and if you have an anger issues, you need to see what those anger issues are all about. You know, get to the bottom of it. Amen. So, yes.
All right. Any other comments there?
No.
I think that was appropriate, and that's right on point. Because this is key, and see, we can't really get it all in one sermon,
that's
Lady
right.
Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a process that has to happen. Some people are looking for a quick fix, but that's not always the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just in one sermon. It's in a lifestyle. It's in a commitment to be whole and to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it doesn't happen when you think it ought to happen, God has a way of taking you through various things in order for you to experience the release that he wants to give you.
Amen.
And it's similar to going through, you know, matriculating through school and through, you know, the educational process. You have to learn the lesson in order to move forward. You know, when we were going through school back in the day, I felt so much better, you know, when I learned what I was supposed to learn in the grade before, when I got to the next grade. Some people were scared and they were afraid. You remember those days?
I do.
And they know they knew that they weren't supposed to be there because they didn't know
they didn't learn nothing.
You know. And so that's the way it is with us. If we don't learn the lesson, I'm telling you, that next step is gonna be harder, it's gonna be more difficult.
It's gonna be hard.
God would have us to stay here tonight, because it's important that you really deal with that. And even if you are released and you are free, then we praise God.
That's
but
right.
If we want to have the joy of the Lord, and we want to experience breakthrough, and we want to experience winning even when we have a bad day,
yes.
You know, you can have a bad day and keep on winning. And it's not, you're not exempt from having bad days.
That's
now.
Right. That's right.
Because Jesus himself says in this life, you're going to have some tribulations. You're going to have some trials, but be of good cheer.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've already overcome the world.
Amen.
And so
Jesus had bad days.
He had bad days.
Yes, he did.
But his worst day turned into our best day.
Amen.
Glory
Hallelujah.
God.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And so we praise God for his keeping power and for how he's sustaining us even in the midst of everything that we are going through. He knows all about us. He was wounded for our transgressions.
Yes.
He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
We're healed. Hallelujah.
And so he's already paid the price. He's already paid the cost. And so all we have to do is walk in that and trust the timing of God. I feel a song coming up. And he walks with me.
Now, y'all seen that emoji with the eyes up in the air.
And he tells me that I am his own.
We have Bible study. We need to get
and it. The joy we share. Hallelujah. As we tarry there. None other, come on, Lady Kim, has ever known. Come on, y'all, give me some help right there.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Come on, give me some help.
Amen. You say amen. You know how you do it at church when you want somebody to hurry up and get through. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. Come on. He had to get that out. Y'all know I let him get that out, right?
All right. You see how little
thing coming. And sing, Pastor.
Thank
sing
you, Sister
now.
Myra. I appreciate
that.
That's
Sister Hope, too.
That's
encouraging,
right.
Encouraging you.
That's a powerful song.
That is a powerful song.
Right. Know that God will walk
with you.
He
walks with us and talks with us. Yes.
He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Thank you today, God.
He said he'll be with you always.
Always.
Even until the end.
Amen.
You can always count on God.
Yes, you
and
can.
So we praise God for his keeping power tonight, and we're grateful for how God, yes, sustains us even in those bad days.
Amen.
And allows us to keep on winning. That's what these disciples experienced, isn't that right?
Yes, that's what they experienced.
They had a bad day, and so the enemy wants to have our eyes just like he did for these disciples, where you can't really see what God is trying to do because you're so caught up in what you are going through that when Jesus walks alongside of you, you won't even recognize
him. You're missing.
That's right.
Yeah, you're missing.
And so we praise God tonight for that word, and we hope that you will continue to meditate on it and allow it to be as seed and fertile soil unto your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, and as we indicated earlier before we talked, and we went a little longer than normal around that whole issue of unforgiveness, but that's a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 part series. That's mm-hmm. not just a 1-2 time, you know.
1-2 punch.
No,
you gotta
stick and stay.
Stay there for a while.
That's right. And so this 14th chapter really begins to reveal to us another shift in the power structure, another dynamic in terms of leadership. And then we see the ever presence of God in the midst of even these changes that are happening. And God's raising up another leader that is willing to trust him and go back to the old landmark. And somebody, you know, we always talk about, you know, the old school, you know, old school still works.
Amen.
And it doesn't limit us from, you know, using our gifts and making the adjustments as we go forward. But no, that foundation has to be there. And this young man, how do you pronounce his name?
Asa.
Yeah, he just actually went back to the old way of reverencing God and honoring God. And so one of the things I found out, and I think it's about, 19 verses here?
I believe so.
I believe it's about 19 verses. But one of the things I found out is that Asa was willing to, be righteous before God. And the Bible says that he was the most righteous monarch yet to arise in Judah after the division of Solomon's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a divided kingdom.
Right.
And since Solomon had passed on, his sons did havoc, and they really, who was that, Jeroboam or Rehoboam?
Jeroboam.
It messed up everything. And then he tried to turn back around and get right.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too late. And so he was able to repent and ask God to forgive him. But he just went off the rail. He went off the track, you know. And so as a result of that, it really cost him in terms of his reign and also his power in terms of what God could have done with him mm-hmm. had he stayed the track, mm-hmm. you know, from what his dad had instructed him. Because he sat there and he watched and he observed everything that his dad had done. And so it was a natural transition that was taking place because he knew the structure. He knew the power brokers, if you will. He knew those who were advisors. And when the time came for him to make a decision, he went with people who didn't have the kind of wisdom and the kind of knowledge that was necessary in order for him to be successful. And as a result, he took a major hit and he had to suffer the consequences of not following wisdom and godly advice.
Amen.
That's true with us even today, you know. Sometimes we get to a place, Lady Kim, where we think we know it all and where we think that the old people can't tell us nothing or our parents can't tell us anything. I know how to do this. I can navigate my way. And then you run into that brick wall and you run into a situation where when you start talking to other people, many times they'll tell you something just the opposite of what your parents or those who have, you know, you looked up to growing up instructed you in. And you have to come all the way back around to that after you've gone through this whole laundry list of failures and shortcomings and mistakes and mishaps. And so we find this young king, he's holding up the old landmark. And the Bible says there were some 10 years that everything was just quiet.
Yes.
And the peace of God.
The peace reigns.
And so, you know, that's amazing. Isn't
Amen.
It? After all of these wars and all of these battles that they were up against, this young man came in and said, no, you know, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to do what God requires of me. And God honored that. He went in and he cleaned out everything. And
all the idols.
Idols and all of the statues.
Yes.
And he cleaned up the high places.
He swept the place.
That's right. That's right. He cleaned it up. People got mad with him. And they were upset because some of these idols, they had turned into almost gods with a little g.
Yes.
And they had some Baal worshiping idols that resided in the valley that people tried to hold on to. But Asa, is that his name? Asa? Mm-hmm. He was the one who said, no, we're going in and we're going to tear all of that down and we're going to honor God and we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says that he had faith enough to believe that God was going to do exactly what he said he would do.
Amen. Amen. You know, they had brought all these gods and idols mm-hmm. in from other lands and other, because of how the Jews were dispersed.
Right, right.
You know, in my class, I learned that's called the Jewish diaspora.
Okay.
The Jewish diaspora, where all these Jews were in other places, and then when they came, they brought all these idols with them, mm-hmm. all these other gods. They worshiped the god of the sun, the god of fertility, the god of the moon, the god of the crops.
That's right.
Whatever there was, they had a god for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Fertility.
Yes.
Gods.
But Asa was the one who said he was going back to his great-grandfather's God.
That's
the
right.
God, the true and living God.
That's right.
And he destroyed and got rid of all of those idol gods.
Okay. And so that really kind of puts us on pace to, you can go ahead and just read through that, Lady Kim. And I think much of what we've described already, you, as you read, you'll see is coming out in this particular text for tonight. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, and there are only about 19 verses there. But if you would want to go ahead and read now, this is the reign of Asa mm-hmm. that we're going to be looking at here.
I think there was 15.
15 verses.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. So 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, starting at the first verse. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David.
Mm-hmm.
That was the former king.
That's right.
Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. And we just talked about why it was quiet for 10 years, but we'll see in the coming verses. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God.
Right.
For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and the broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah,
mm-hmm.
and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, and for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest.
My.
Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. Mm-hmm. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears from Benjamin. And from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Maresha. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array mm-hmm. in the valley of Zephthara at Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them from Gera. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. And they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gera, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem.
Wow. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
And I think even as you read verse number 11, mm-hmm. that in and of itself, that one verse is a prayer that we can even use when we are up against situations where it looks like we're outnumbered, you know. Mm-hmm. Because even though we might see great numbers in the natural,
yes,
God can do a work in the spirit realm, but we have to trust God and believe that he's going to allow us to have the victory. Read verse number 11 again, Lady Kim.
And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, mm-hmm. whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you.
Isn't that something? So that's a prayer that you need to just go ahead and highlight in your mm-hmm. Bible, because you can make that your prayer.
Amen.
Even though it was Asa's prayer, he cried out. That means that he prayed to God, and he asked God to deliver him, because they had 1,000,000 soldiers.
Yes.
And you look out and you see that many soldiers.
I wonder how they could count all that.
I know, right? You look out and see that kind of number, you're going to almost melt in your boots.
Yeah.
But Asa said, Lord, you know, you got the power. That's what he said. And he said, even though we see all of these people, we know that you're well able to deliver us out of their hands and give us the victory.
Amen.
And so even though you might look out and you see situations that you're going against, and it doesn't look like it's 1,000,000 people that you're getting ready to do battle with, or that the enemy is standing in front of you, it can be just one person. But you have to believe God, and you have to trust him and ask God to prevail and give you the victory.
And God will give you the victory.
He'll give you the victory.
Every time. And you know what? Sometimes the victory in Christ Jesus doesn't look like what we think it should look
That's
like.
That's right. That's right.
But trust me, God will give you what you need when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you will be victorious. If you don't win like you think you should win, trust me, you won because God has something else in store.
That's right. That's right. And so this really is the 14th chapter that Lady Kim has just shared. Anything else that kind of jumps out of those verses for you? And as we look at the lesson here from this particular chapter, it's one of the writers says, God always has someone ready to fight his people's battle, mm-hmm. and will uphold his people in battle. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the comments there, Dr. Kweli said, if God be for us, mm-hmm. and who can be against us? Mm-hmm. Because greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. Mm-hmm. And no weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper.
Amen.
And so we have to believe that even when we're going up against a situation where it looks like we're not going to be victorious, you still have to have the kind of posture and the kind of determination that says, no, I'm going to be victorious in this. I might not be able to see it right now, but God has already been there, and he's gone on down the road, and he's already prepared the victory.
Yes.
He's already prepared a table in the presence of our enemies, and he's already anointed us for what he has prepared for us.
Amen. That's right. Dr. Q came up with another one of those songs. Tell me who can stand before us. Amen. When we call on that great name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
What's
we
the name
have
of that
the victory.
Song?
We have the victory.
Okay.
Tell me who can stand before us when we call on that great name. Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory.
Now,
let me sing.
What I was going to say, and some of the people might not even know this, that you were our choir at one time.
And
she was in the choir back in the day, and I don't know why she won't go and get back up there.
Because I don't have time.
But did y'all hear how well she can sing? And so, I'm telling you, she used to lead solos and all that kind of stuff.
Reluctantly.
And so, Sister Myra, remember? Don't you remember?
I'm so glad God elevated me.
But he didn't take your gift away, Lady Kim.
Yeah.
And see, you have to be an inspiration and an example for others who have the same kind of skill, but maybe not at your level.
Hmm.
And they have been in the choir before. They have been a part of musical groups. They may even have some talents that they have not yet used in the body of Christ, or have used, and they have allowed those gifts to lie dormant. And if you don't use it, then you end up losing it.
Amen.
And so I'm going to go ahead and get with Elder and see if I can set something up
to
lead us. If y'all let me know if that's what y'all want, then go ahead and give me some hearts and some thumbs
that.
Up
no.
there. So
You already got people in there talking about I remember and looking to see you in the choir.
That's right.
I have a dissertation to write. I need to wear my T-shirt that says dissertationing.
So what does that have to do with you singing?
I don't have time for
you don't
singing
have time
in the choir.
For
singing in the choir.
You don't have time
that's
for the
a
Lord.
Commitment.
You don't have time for the Lord.
No, that's singing in the choir. I got time for the Lord.
Okay, all right. Don't be pitching me under the table. All right, but we pretty much covered our study for tonight. And so we do praise God for each of you and for all of the comments. I know it's a little early, but we spent a lot of time just reflecting on yesterday's sermon and talking about that whole unforgiveness piece. But we're not going to hold you. We do have quite a few prayer requests, and we're certainly grateful for how God has sustained us throughout this weekend, of course, with the homegoing for Shorty Shotwell, James Shorty Shotwell, Saturday. And then I tell you, ATOP always rises to the occasion, and they serve faithfully, and they're loyal and committed to being on point when it comes time to serving others. And so I'm grateful, and Lady Kim and I, we're grateful for that. And then, of course, we went with Brother DeJuan Whitmore. His grandfather's funeral was yesterday. And so we were torn, because we knew that Minister Olu was going to be preaching at Quince Nursing Home yesterday. And I think she's on tonight. But Minister Olu, I did get a clip from that sermon that you preached, and I tell you, I just felt the glory of God, even in that small clip that was sent to us. And we were praying with you and for you, and I know you did an excellent job on yesterday at Quince Nursing Home. And Quince is not going to be the same since you've already laid the tracks there with that powerful word that you preached on yesterday. And so we're encouraged that you did an outstanding job. But we stood with Duan and his son, and it was a kind of a difficult time for them, but you could feel the peace of God and his presence in the midst of that. We normally don't have or even attend Sunday
funerals. Very rare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to be there with them and let them know that we were standing with them. And that's Lady Kim's classmate, the Right Reverend Bishop.
Kevin Willis.
Kevin Willis and Pastor Linda.
Mm-hmm. And, Dr. Linda.
That's
Willis.
Right.
Yes.
And he spoke very highly of his classmate and talked about the excellent job that she is doing in the cohort that they have for this class that they're in, and how much of a powerful preacher she is and how she exhibits those skills. And he took time out to say all of that.
At a funeral.
In the funeral, that's right. So everybody was looking over there and I was doing like this, you know, and she is right there. And so we praise God for that, because there's some power. That's power. Somebody type in power. That's power right there in that chair. That's right. And so we continue to push you through, Lady Kim, because we know that you're working on everything that you need to do to get everything in order to finish up. But I tell you, you are just an outstanding preacher, and we need you to preach a little bit at ATOP when you get a chance and sing a couple of songs.
I will soon. And a couple of songs. I won't promise that. I won't promise that. But, to God be the glory for the things he has done.
That's Amen. Right. That's Amen. Right. That's
we
right.
have several prayer requests. If you have prayer requests, please put them in the chat. We want to mention those tonight. Of course, Pastor has already mentioned the Shotwell family. We want to continue to lift them up in the loss of our ATOP member, James Earl Shotty Shotwell. Shorty Shotwell. That's a tongue twister.
That's right. That's right.
We called him Shorty.
Yeah.
But his name was James Earl Shotwell. So we want to lift up the Shotwell family in our prayers. We also want to lift up Dr. Cynthia Calhoun and the loss of her cousin. That funeral was also this past weekend. We want to lift up Sister Antoinette Martin in mm-hmm. the loss of her brother. That funeral is this coming Saturday. We want to lift up Sister Amaya Hampton. Amaya is one of our newer members. She lost her cousin in a tragic accident, so we want to lift up her cousin in our prayers. And I think that's all for the bereavements, but we also have some on our sick and shut-in list that we want to lift up. We got a praise report yesterday
that's right.
From Brother Martez Jones. Oh, we praise God for God's healing power.
Hallelujah.
Brother Martez said his results came back. He is cancer-free.
Glory.
So we rejoice with Brother Martez Jones that God is truly indeed a healer. But we also want to lift up our member, Sister Yolanda Cooper. Her daughter, Portia Williams, has been on the prayer list, I think, since about April. She has a brain cancer, young lady, and she has now been put into hospice care. So we want to lift up Sister Yolanda Cooper in our prayers, as well as her daughter, Portia. Give them peace.
That's her daughter's name. Her name, Portia.
Portia.
How old is she?
She's 30 years old.
Okay.
30
and
years
we'll
old.
And we'll be going over tomorrow to pray with that family. It's a very difficult mm-hmm. time when people have been assigned hospice but we want to stand with them even as they go through this process. So we're calling upon the intercessors to lift her up in a powerful and a mighty way. You don't have to wait until Wednesday to do that. And then if you're interested in maybe going with us, one or two of the intercessors, then get with Lady Kim and we'll see if the schedules will allow you to go over with us. But we're definitely going to be carrying the weight of those who are yet interceding and the power and the presence of God and believing God for his will to be done and for smooth transition and peace to abide even in the midst of them trying to, you know, because she's got people coming in around the clock and that kind of thing right now. Right?
Yes, and so we want to definitely lift her up in prayer. It's a very difficult situation.
That's right, that's right.
You know, and we know that death is a part of life.
Right, right.
You know, and that each of us must make a transition at some point.
Right.
But we know in all of that that God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Sister Theron C. said her aunt's homegoing service will be next Sunday at 11 a.m. in Holly Springs, Mississippi. Miss Elizabeth Culbertson. Elizabeth Culbertson. We will make sure we put that down. Thank you. Sister Theron, if you can send me that information, I'd appreciate it. Just text it to me so I'll make sure that
it goes out.
Yes, that it goes out appropriately.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Any other prayer requests that you see, Lady Kim?
No, I don't see any at this time.
Okay. Well, we're certainly grateful for each of you who participated in a part of this study tonight. Next week, we'll be in the 15th chapter of 2 Chronicles as we continue to see this new king who has come on the scene, Asa, and how he's continuing to be obedient to God. And his reign is even going stronger as a result of his faithfulness to God and willing to trust God even in the tough times. And even as we indicated earlier, that 11th chapter of this this 14th chapter of 2 Chronicles, you need to go back and read that and just kind of integrate it into your prayer life, because it's a prayer that can easily be fit into whatever it is you're going through, and you don't have to wait till you find yourself in a struggle or up against a situation. But if we practice when the time comes for us to deal with situations, we are much better equipped to handle the situation than God. He already knows what we're going through, but he hears and he answers.
Yes,
and
does.
So we don't want to be a foreign voice, or we don't want God trying to recognize who that is. We want to make sure that when we find ourselves in a situation that he recognizes our voice.
He knows our voice.
He knows our voice because we have been in communication with him. And it's not just something that happens when the ceiling is collapsing and the floor is falling in. Isn't that right, Lady
Amen.
Kim?
Amen.
All right. Well, will you close us out then with a word of prayer?
Sure. Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we once again thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together as this your people to study your word. We thank you for the example set forth in your word that we shall have no other gods before thee.
Thank you, God.
That you are the true and living God, and that any idol that stands in the way needs to be crushed down to the earth and cast away. We thank you, O God, for the example of Asa, that he let no other gods come in to his surroundings, and that he cast all other gods away. So, God, we ask in the name of Jesus that as we go forth from this day forward, that we recognize the things that we idolize. It might be a rapper. It might be a basketball player. It might even be our children or our spouse. God, we ask in the name of Jesus that we learn to put you first in
Thank
our
you,
lives.
God. Thank you, God.
Now, God, we lift up the prayer concerns of your people. We lift up Sister Theron C. in the loss of that aunt. We lift up Sister Antoinette Martin in the loss of that brother. We lift up Dr. Cynthia Calhoun in the loss of that cousin. We lift up Sister Amaya Hampton in the loss of her cousin. Oh God, we lift up all the others who are on our bereavement list to you. We ask God that you would just take the Shotwell family and all the other bereaved families and hold them in the hollow of your hand.
Thank you, God.
And then, God, we pray for our sister Yolanda Cooper as she sits with her daughter, God, during this difficult time in her life. We ask, oh God, that you would be with them, that you would just comfort and keep them, oh God, in this difficult situation. We love you, God, and we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We lift up Anointed Temple of Praise to you and all those that are connected with ATOP, everybody who's on this Bible study and who will log on to this Bible study later on. God, we ask your choicest blessings to be upon them. And God, as we go forth, let us continue to go forth looking to the hills from which cometh our help, because we know all of our help comes from you. We love you, we thank you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 And Lady Kim, did we mention about the Institute? Is that happening this Thursday?
It is. No, it's happening Saturday.
Next Saturday? Yeah, this Saturday. The workshop. Saturday at 10.
Yes.
At ATOP. And so we want to make sure that those who are a part of this Institute for Leadership Training, as we're in the Discipleship module.
Yeah. That it's not the workshop, but it's the in person. Uh-huh. The workshop will be the following week.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. Well, we hope you have a fantastic rest of the day, and praise God for each of you. And will you believe in God for breakthrough, for miracles, and for lives being changed?
Amen.
And for God continuing to add to the kingdom. We didn't even mention that the Lord added to the kingdom yesterday.
Hallelujah.
Glory
to
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for being on Bible study tonight. We'll see you on next Monday. We'll see you Sunday.
That's right.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed.